Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Sign up to our loyalty programme and reap the rewards at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Okay, so this huge hype this week around an unauthorised biography of Gwyneth Paltrow that came out. And Adele Coffey read it so that we don't have to, and she's in our Galway studio. Good afternoon, Adele.
Hi, Brendan. How are you?
Good, thanks. So, Adele, Gwyneth, the biography by Amy O'Dell is, I gather, pretty unflattering. Does it give us new insights into the real Gwyneth Paltrow?
Yeah, I would say it's really unflattering about her, actually. And I suppose that is the point of unauthorised biographies, isn't it? You know, with an authorised biography, you're getting something that's been sanctioned by the person it's about. But with this, it's, you know, they've done the dirt digging. They've upended things that are unearthed things that the person doesn't want them to do. Does it unearth any new insights? I don't think it really does. And that's not to say it's not a really fascinating read. It is very entertaining. I raced through it. But yeah, I don't think it tells us anything new. And I think ultimately what you come to believe about Gwyneth is that she is kind of an enigma, or kind of the Teflon princess. You know, nothing seems to stick to her. She seems to recover from every controversy that has ever afflicted her. And is that to do with her privilege, or is that just to do with the fact that people actually do like her? She's so divisive. Like, people hate her, they love to hate her, they love her. If you ask anybody about
her, I enjoy her, I must say.
I would say that's where I come down as well, Brendan.
Yeah.
I enjoy her, but you know, the parts of this book that gave me real pause for thought were the sort of pseudoscience claims that are made about Goop, which is her wellness company now. It started off as a newsletter in 2008 and it's grown into this huge multi-million valued company.
Just to give the background to that, she basically walked away from, we'll come back to her acting and stuff like that, but seeing as you brought up Goop, she walked away from a huge Hollywood career. Really, didn't she?
Yeah,
and set up this thing, Goop.
Yeah, so she was kind of disenchanted with her career, I think. So she had won the Oscar for Shakespeare in Love in 1999, and she had done The Talent of Mr. Ripley as well around that time. I think it was the following year. But her father died in 2002, and she had, it's amazing actually, the string of duds that she appeared in, which I had kind of forgotten about. Her good films are very, very few, and her really awful flops are many, including Shallow Hal, which is the one where she wore the fat suit and got into a lot of hot water for her comments, rightly so. But so yeah, I think at that point in her career and in her life, you know, she had lost her father, who she was very, very close to. He was the producer, Bruce Paltrow, and he had died quite unexpectedly when they were on a holiday in Rome. She had turned 30. She was seeing all of her posh school friends getting married and having children, and she didn't have that in her life. So I think she kind of reappraised where she was, and she wasn't loving it anymore. So she was acting in England. Yeah,
Goop then, like, it kind of seemed like a harmless bit of a laugh at the beginning. And I'd know a lot of women who would still say the newsletter were good, the recipes, they'd get the odd recipe off it, that she's been good about the menopause and stuff, apparently. And then obviously the products were ridiculous and ridiculously expensive. but the book kind of seems to say that there's slightly something a bit more sinister going on with Goop.
Yeah, the book, particularly towards the close of it, it kind of aligns her with the fake news, anti-vaxxer posse in America, like Robert F. Kennedy. Now, Gwyneth has always defended herself, saying, oh, we don't declare any facts. We don't support these things, but we do just have interesting conversations or ask curious questions with very unorthodox people. So, yeah, she's defending herself, but she's an absolute proponent of the raw milk kind of thing, and she has been for years, and so is Robert F. Kennedy. And and she's been sued. She was sued for the yoni egg, which was the egg that you insert into your yoni, we'll say. And she was sued by the California Food and Drug and Medical Devices organization for that. And she settled with them because they said she was making false claims that it would improve your sex life and all this.
Still, she kind of prevails, as you say. She's kind of a bit Teflon. So that kind of brings us back to the privilege thing. Privilege is a word that has come up a lot around the book, and she was born into it. Her father, Bruce Paltrow, a big Hollywood producer, Blythe Danner, her mother, a fantastic actress who people will know, kind of a frictionless rise to the top. Is privilege part of the reason that people hate her and that this book is kind of a bit savage, yeah?
Yeah, I think it is. And I think it's also part of why she's so successful. And I think it's also part of why she's so insulated. Because like her godfather is Steven Spielberg. So she was raised into born into this family, obviously very privileged, and industry insiders. So the doors were always going to open to her. When she was 11, they moved to New York, to the Upper East Side of New York, because Blythe wanted her daughter educated in a way that she didn't feel she could get in on the West Coast. She went to this very privileged girls' school called Spence. And actually, this part of the book is quite interesting because it reveals things that I didn't know about her, whether they were already out there, if you wanted to find them out. That's questionable, I don't know. But she was a real sort of rebel in school. She was not very academically interested. She got away with murder. Her teachers all seemed to like her. She kind of had this cheeky smile that even when she was like transgressing rules, they let her away with stuff because, well, how could you resist Gwyneth's charm? So that kind of thing was very interesting. And then,
yeah, so in a way, does that explain maybe Gwyneth now as well? Like, because as much as like a lot of about her is objectionable, is there a charm about it or something? That she gets away with things.
Yes, absolutely. I think part of her charm is that you expect her to be this kind of prissy person because her look is so perfect, as you know, that blonde hair, blue-eyed, perfect
wasp
skin,
princess,
very thin.
Like,
wasp,
yeah.
Exactly. Even though her heritage is Jewish. But she, she expresses these wacky kind of opinions, or then she'll say something about, you know, promoting women's sexuality, and she's like so sort of anti-shame in a way that you kind of have to like those aspects about her. And she sort of speaks her mind, even though what she's speaking may be absolutely abhorrent at times. You know, she's completely fat-phobic, but she also says things like, you know, a lot of people say they just want celebrities to be honest and real, and yet when we are, they don't really like it. And that's obviously
okay.
Because
Gwyneth's
not.
So is she more interesting than most celebrities these days then? Is that part of it?
I think she is. Like, she's very ill-advised in what she says a lot of the time. Like, you know, a lot of celebrities nowadays are so PR savvy and they would never say anything offensive to anybody, whereas she will kind of just say what she thinks, even if that is quite offensive. And I don't know if I, you know, there's a two sides to that. I kind of like that she says what she thinks, but I don't really like what she says, do you know?
Yeah.
So she is interesting in that way.
Do you reckon she knows what she's doing?
100%.
Okay, she's in on it, yeah?
In on it completely. And there is actually quite a bit of research on the part of the author here where she says, you know, even the negative controversy, even the negative publicity would often drive sales on Goop. So, you know, and Gwyneth survived every controversy. It didn't damage their brand. It didn't damage the website or the shop sales or anything. In fact, it often did the opposite. So she was willing, I think, to say these wacky things or to cause a bit of friction or controversy. Like, you know, the candles that she sold, which was, one of them was called This Smells Like My Vagina. And the other one was called This Smells Like My Orgasm, and she called it a kind of punk rock feminist statement at the time, and all it was just a way of selling nice smelling candles. So she's definitely in on what
this what book isn't going to damage her either, is it?
I think it's probably going to drive more sales. The thing I came away with at the end of it actually was that she is completely transactional. She's money obsessed is the impression I get from
really?
This book. Yes, absolutely. And a little bit oblivious. So she's very privileged, but there's this sort of, it feels like there's a wake of not quite destruction, but maybe like hurt or damage in her wake. And she just carries on regardless, you know, because she's focused on herself. She's focused on her own success and what she wants. The most interesting parts are actually the really tiny gossipy details. Like, there is a rumour that she turned down the role in Shakespeare in Love initially. She didn't even read it. She wasn't bothered. She wasn't interested. And then after she broke up with Brad Pitt, she was staying with Winona Ryder, who was a friend of hers. And she is rumoured to have picked up that script, having heard somebody talk about it in really glowing terms, saying, I can't believe you turned it down. So she picks it up in Winona's house, is the rumour, reads it, and then accepts the role. And Winona's life goes in the opposite direction of Gwyneth's
after that. And Gwyneth sails on.
Okay. And she sails on regardless.
Adele Coffey, thank you very much. It's called Gwyneth, the biography by Amy O'Dell. It's out now. We'll take a break.